I'm Derek Walker, the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church. And the last few times we've been looking at different pictures of salvation in the Gospel of John. We saw in John 2 about the miracle of water turned into wine. That's a picture of us when we're born again. And then we saw Jesus teaching to Nicodemus in John 3. And he described how the new birth would happen. And then we saw in John chapter 4, another picture of the new birth is God putting his fountain of living water on the inside of us that wells up to everlasting life. And now we're going to look in John 11 to see another picture of our salvation in the new birth. And this is described as a resurrection, because actually Jesus, when he went through death and he was raised from the dead, he became the head of a new breed of humanity, praise God, the new creation. And praise God, when we accept Christ, our old man was crucified with Christ and we are raised with Christ. And we receive a spiritual resurrection. That means the resurrection life of Jesus is imparted to our spirit and our spirit is raised from death to life. So as Peter said, we are born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection life of Jesus has raised our spirit from death to life. So one picture of the new birth is resurrection. And we see that in another sign that Jesus does in the Gospel of John. And that is the sign of the resurrection of Lazarus. And as we're going to see, this is a picture of our new birth, the resurrection of our spirit, and also the future resurrection of our body. Let's go to John 11, and we'll pick out a few verses. It says in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." And this was a progressive sickness. And Lazarus, the word means, "God is my help." And Bethany means house of the afflicted one. And so this is a picture. Lazarus is a picture of all men born in sin, hopelessly afflicted under the curse of death, a progressive sickness. Sin is a progressive sickness, bringing spiritual death, physical death, ultimately eternal death in hell. And that was what God warned man. He says, if you sin, dying, you will die. And without God's help, we would be eternally lost. And so, but praise God, God is our help. That's what Lazarus means. And so this is pictured. In fact, spiritual death and physical death are closely connected. Spiritual death leads to physical death. And in this passage, Jesus claims to be the one and the only one who has the power to overcome and reverse spiritual death and physical death. He is the Lord. He is the resurrection and the life. And so death does not have the last word. Jesus does. And we'll see that Lazarus, as I said, is a picture of all men under the power of sin, but that Jesus sends, God sends Jesus to save Lazarus, to resurrect Lazarus. We are in the house of the afflicted ones with Lazarus, but thank God, Jesus loved Lazarus. He loves us, and he sent Jesus to save us. And it's all about Jesus's claim here, I am the resurrection and the life. First of all, he is the life for our spirit, and then he is also the resurrection of our body. So the raising of Lazarus is a picture of our spiritual rebirth and our physical resurrection. Well, the sisters send a message to Jesus. He's out of the country at that time, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. See, God loves you. You are Lazarus in this story. God loves you. And of course, he is sick, as we all are, because of sin. And then Jesus heard this and he says, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, the end result will not be death because I'm going to intervene. But it's an opportunity for the glory of God, for the manifestation of God's power, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So God is going to have the last word and Jesus is going to be glorified through it. I love the spirit of faith that Jesus has there. And notice, he equates himself with God. He says it's an opportunity for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified through it. But now an interesting thing happens. It says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. That's not human reasoning, but he was being led by God. There was a purpose in him delaying two more days. First of all, it would be a greater display of God's glory, because by the time he gets there, Lazarus will have been dead 4 days. And so to raise him from the dead after 4 days, this would be spectacular. And actually, this would constitute a sign of Jonah, a resurrection after 3 days, which is one of the messianic miracles, one of the credentials that prove that he would be the Messiah. And so he waited 3 days so that it would be a greater glory, a greater miracle. And so he was being led by God in that. Eventually, he decides to go to Judea to raise Lazarus, having waited these extra 2 days. And he says in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps." And he's talking about the sleep of death, that his body, as it were, is asleep. "But I go that I may wake him up." I'm glad that Jesus wakes us up out of death. And he's going to raise us up on the last day as well. Praise God. So I just love his spirit of faith there. "I am going to raise him up," he says. Then the disciples didn't understand him. They said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. It's good that he sleeps." But Jesus, however, spoke of his death. See, a Christian's death is called sleep, not because his soul sleeps, but because his body is like a sleeping body waiting to be woken up on the resurrection morning. Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was just speaking about taking his rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." You know, he didn't want to use those words because death has such a note of finality about it. He was saying, look, he's sleeping, but if somebody's sleeping, then it's not hard to wake him up. That's how he saw it. But he says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." If Jesus would have been in Bethany, then Lazarus would never have died. He would have healed him. But he says, it's good. It's worked out this way because a greater miracle is going to take place, because I'm going to raise him up. And I'm through this sign of a resurrection, I am going to demonstrate my glory in a very special way. And so it says, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met them, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha, as usual, is action girl. Mary's the contemplative one. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And that, of course, is a true statement. She was disappointed that Jesus hadn't been there. But she wanted to know, maybe, just maybe, would Jesus raise him from the dead? She wasn't sure. She had some hope, because see what she says next. "But even now, after 4 days, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." So she had the belief that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." He's saying, "I'm going to do it." He confirms her faith. And Martha wanted more clarification. He says, "Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Is that why you're talking about, Jesus?" And then Jesus, in response, gave some of the greatest words that have ever been spoken. Because Jesus said to her, "I am, right now, the resurrection and the life. You're not going to have to wait till the last day, because the resurrection and the life is here right now. This is a divine claim. Only God can say these words if they're true. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one. God alone has the final authority over life and death." He's saying, "I'm not just talking about the distant future. I am the God of the eternal now. I am here. The resurrection and the life is here now. Lazarus won't have to wait till the last day. Believe in me," he says. "I am the resurrection and the life." This is the key claim of the whole miracle. And by doing the miracle, he's proving that his claim is true. He is saying, "I am your resurrection and your life. If you will believe in me through this sign, I will be the life for your spirit and the resurrection for your body. Praise God. The picture of Lazarus is a picture, a sign that what he wants to do for all of us, if we will believe in him. Praise God. And so God is saying, believe that I'm the God of the now. And, you know, when he says I'm the resurrection, he's talking about the future physical resurrection from physical death. I'm the one, he says, who will raise your dead body to life again. But when he says I am the life, it's talking about our spiritual resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life. You see, the spiritual and the physical are in parallel. And both resurrections are being pictured by the resurrection of Lazarus. And so, I am the life is our spiritual resurrection, which speaks of the new birth that we receive when we receive his eternal life into our spirit. Praise God. And we will come alive with his life, his resurrection life. Praise God. So Lazarus is a picture of all men, hopeless and helpless under the power of spiritual and physical death. But Jesus comes on the scene and declares to be our friend and to be our savior from both kinds of death, spiritual and physical. He claims to be the life and the resurrection. And notice how he expands his claim here. He says, I am the resurrection. And then he explains this further when he says, he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically. That's him as the resurrection. Then he also expands in verse 26 his claim that I am the life. He says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Notice, both benefits are for those who believe in Jesus, physical resurrection and life. Notice he says, whoever lives and believes in me. You've got to believe in Jesus while you're still alive physically. But if you believe in him, you will never die. Now, clearly, that's not talking about physical death. It must be talking about spiritual. In other words, you will stay alive spiritually. You will live forever. You will have eternal life. You will never die spiritually because you will have eternal life. Do you believe this? So he promises that if we believe in him while we're still alive, we will experience spiritual life, that even when we die physically, we will continue to have eternal life. So I am the life speaks of the eternal life of God that all believers receive in our spirit when we're born again, when we believe in Jesus, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. He becomes our life. And praise God, we have to believe in him while we're physically alive. He says, we will never die. We will have eternal life. Hallelujah. In other words, he's saying, you will never die. You'll be born again, and your spirit will be changed from death to life. You were dead in your sins, but now you'll be made alive to God. You'll never die. Your spirit will live together. You'll have everlasting life in your spirit, which will never grow dim or old. It's a life that renews itself constantly in the power of God. You'll go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me will experience me as the resurrection and the life. Though he's spiritually dead, I'll give him my eternal spiritual life for his spirit. And if he dies physically, I'll raise him up again physically from the dead. I don't have just power over physical death, but over the spiritual death. Praise God. And in both cases, Jesus is the victor over death. Hallelujah. And then he says to this, and he says to us, do you believe this? Verse 26. Her faith was important to Jesus. And so Martha said in verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. So Martha's now in faith, and she confesses her faith. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calls for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And notice, whenever we see Mary, she's always at Jesus' feet, which is a good place to be. And, you know, she's in despair, she's in grief, she doesn't understand why something's happened, but she has enough sense to fall at Jesus' feet. And that is the key thing. Now, she uses the same words as Martha. They in their grief, they probably said it to each other again and again. But now we see Jesus going into action. And he now goes to war. We see Jesus going to war against death and Satan. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he groaned, and this is a groan of indignation. He groaned in the spirit, and he troubled himself, he stirred himself. This word for groan is used for the snorting of a horse, of a battle horse going into battle. It's indignation against this enemy of death. He's getting ready for battle. He's stirring himself for action. Seeing the horror of death in the face of Lazarus, he sees the horror of death and destruction that has come upon all men whom he loves. You see, we were designed to live forever. We were not made to die. Jesus was moved by his love for us to go to war for us against the enemy. That's what he did in his death and resurrection, so that we might be delivered from him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Physical death is just the outward sign that reveals the horror of sin. But sin's full effects, the curse, go deeper. Eternal spiritual death, and ultimately eternal death in hell. And Jesus, because he loved us, he was coming against sin, Satan, and death. He was energized in the spirit. He was coming against the curse as he prepared to conquer the spirit of death over Lazarus. That would be a picture of him conquering death for all of us through his death and resurrection. And so he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then it says Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. But this shows Jesus has compassion for us. He sees us in our weakness, in our grief, in our sorrows. He sees us in our hopelessness, and he weeps. He has compassion on us. He's angry at Satan, sin, and death, but he has compassion on us. And therefore it says Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. You can go and visit it in Bethany. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Notice God works with man. He wants our cooperation. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. The body's just about beginning to decay. And so here, you know, Martha begins to lose some of her faith. Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, we're not told this, but we're told it now, that this is what Jesus promised Martha earlier. He's reminding her of his words. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. I will raise Lazarus from the dead. It will be the glory of God. The manifestation of God is going to take place. So he's reminding her of his word so that she'll get back into faith. Hallelujah. In other words, he declared that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. But notice her faith was important. He said, if you would believe, you see, then you will see the glory of God. Some people want to see the glory and then they'll believe. But Jesus wants us to believe first his promise, and then we will see the glory of God in our life. And then it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He's looking up to heaven. He's looking above the natural, above the crowd. He's making it clear he's looking to God as the source. In fact, it's clear that he's already prayed about this in the time before, and he's received the answer from God. He knew that God had heard him, and he knew that he had received the answer from God in his faith. And this is a pattern for us. You know, the victory is actually won in our prayer closet. That's when we receive the answer, and then we walk it out, whatever we receive from God in prayer. You know, so before Jesus did anything, he had already prayed it and received it in prayer from his Father. And then, once we've done that, then we're in faith, and then our petition turns into prayer. That's why Jesus says, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've heard me. As far as he's concerned, he has the assurance. He has the answer in his spirit. And once we've received the answer in our spirit, it remains for us to use our authority on the earth and speak it into manifestation. That's what he does next. He says, and I know that you hear me always, but because of the people that stand by, I said it that they too may believe that you have sent me. Basically, if Jesus would have just spoken the command, they would have all given Jesus the glory. They would have thought that Jesus did it. But he wanted them to know that it's God. He wanted God to get the glory, and he wanted them to know that he was sent by God. This wasn't something he did in his own strength. This is something that God did, and it proves that God has sent him. But he spoke those words to make it clear that he was doing this by the power of God, so that God would get the glory. And so he glorified God through this. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He received the answer into his spirit, but how do you bring forth from the spirit to the natural? You do it by words of faith. So he spoke it, he said, come forth. And he called life. First of all, he was calling Lazarus's spirit to come back into his body, and he was commanding Lazarus then to come forth out of the tomb. He called life into his body, and he called him to come out of the tomb into the light. And he spoke the desired end result. And this is the God kind of faith. God says, light be, and light was. He spoke the word of command, Lazarus, come forth. And it's just as well he mentioned Lazarus by name, otherwise all the dead would come forth. But praise God. And notice the significance of this. Literally it means Lazarus, come out. You see, because Lazarus's soul had gone down to paradise in Hades, under the earth, and now he was commanding Lazarus to come out of Hades and come into his body and then come out of the grave. And Jesus, if you think about, imagine this, that the soul of Lazarus had been in paradise for 4 days with all the Old Testament saints, and he had told them, I've met the Messiah. He's on the earth. He is doing miracles. He's fulfilling all the prophecies, and he's even my friend. And then suddenly all of paradise would have been in great expectation that the Messiah is soon going to come and set them free so that they could go to heaven by giving them the new birth. And then suddenly those words boomed down into Hades, Lazarus, come forth, come back into your body. And everyone would have heard those words. And Lazarus would have had, sorry guys, I've got to leave now. I told you the Messiah is here and he is calling me and I've got to come back into my body. And it says, he who had died came out bound head, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Praise God. And the raising of Lazarus is a representation of what will happen to us when Jesus returns. He'll do the same for us. In other words, it's a picture of our physical resurrection. Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all in the graves will hear his voice, and they will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And as was Lazarus, our body will be lying in the grave, but he will speak our name and he will say, come forth out of the grave. And we will be resurrected physically. And your spirit will be reunited to your body. And you will have an everlasting body. Praise God. But the raising of Lazarus is also a picture of the spiritual resurrection of all believers. It's what God does for you in the new birth. And this is also described, it says, in John chapter 5. He says that those who are dead he says, will hear the voice of the Son of God and will come to life. Praise God. And so when we hear the voice of the Son of God through the gospel, we are born again. We come to life. We experience a spiritual resurrection. And so Jesus claimed, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, because they will be raised from spiritual death, from spiritual life. And so Jesus, Lazarus in the grave, is a picture of all mankind dead in their sins, under the power of spiritual death and doomed to die physically. And only God can raise us up out of this death. Only Christ can do that. And when we received the voice, when we heard the voice of the Son of God, he spoke, we received him as our Lord and Savior. He spoke into our spirit and he said, come out of sin, come out of death, come out of the kingdom of darkness and come alive in me. And we were born again. When we heard his voice through the gospel, we received that. He called us out of darkness into light. We were born again. Hallelujah. Our spirit was resurrected from the death, just like Lazarus. Praise God. And, you know, Jesus gives us spiritual resurrection, and one day he will also give us a physical resurrection from the dead. Let me just finish with this thought. The 4 days, why did Jesus wait 4 days? Well, one reason is that these 4 days of Lazarus are prophetic of 4,000 years. Lazarus represents all mankind who died spiritually in Adam. For 4,000 years, that's 4 days, man lay in spiritual death. But after the 4 days, Jesus came in God's perfect timing and defeated spiritual death and physical death. Through his death and resurrection, all who believe in Jesus are raised to spiritual life. We're reborn from the dead. Thus, Lazarus is a picture of mankind, dead in sins for 4 days, 4,000 years, without hope, raised up to new life by the personal appearance and the life-giving word of Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, who is our resurrection and our life, because we believe in him. Amen.
Thank you for watching. Join with us at Oxford Bible Church every Sunday at 11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for our live stream service. Or join us at Cheney School, Headington, Oxford, 0X37QH. You can watch more of our teachings on our Roku channel and Derek Walker's YouTube channel. All Derek Walker's books are available in printed and Kindle versions in all Amazons worldwide, or online with other great products, where you can also support our programmes at www.oxfordbiblechurch.co.uk or by calling 01865 515 086.